Chapter 101, Diary Entries, Battle Creek, December 30, 1890. We reached Battle Creek about 3 p.m. Our family were glad to see us, and it seemed good to get home. I learned that the meetings on Sabbath in the tabernacle were excellent. The article I had written, published in the Extra, was read, and the power of the Spirit of the Lord set the truth home to many hearts. No one could doubt but the Lord witnessed to the words written for the benefit of the church. Hearts were deeply stirred, and remarks were made by Elder Prescott and others. Elder Prescott confessed that he had not taken the course he should have taken in Battle Creek. He went far back to Minneapolis and acknowledged he did not have the true discernment there. And since that time, he has not said much, but he had talked with Elder Smith and with a few others. He made thorough work. Elder Smith stated that the testimony in the Extra, Review and Herald Extra, December 23, 1890, was meant for him. He accepted it as a reproof to him. A call was made for all who desired to seek the Lord earnestly to come forward. All the seats in the center of the body of the house were soon filled as people came from the gallery and the vestries, which had to be opened to accommodate the people. Professor Prescott linked his arm in Elder Smith's, and they identified themselves as seeking the Lord most earnestly. The whole congregation was on the move, and they had to tell them to be seated just where they were. Tuesday night, a great burden came on me. I could not sleep. Elder Smith was before me, and my supplications went up to heaven in his behalf all night. I was in a spirit of agony, of wrestling with God, and great hope took possession of my soul for him. He is one of our old hands, one of our reliable men, and the Lord will give him his keeping power. What a change was in the meeting! The atmosphere seemed to be cleansed. Light was coming in to take the place of uncertainty and confused ideas. Battle Creek, Michigan, Wednesday, December 31, 1890. I devoted much time to writing for Brother Smith, but did not feel quite free to send it to him. Held it to decide whether I had better talk with him. If Brother Uriah Smith would discern things in their true light, he would not consent to things that are now being transacted. Brother Smith was with us in the rise of this work. He understands how we, my husband and myself, have carried the work forward and upward step by step, and have borne the hardships, the poverty, and the want of means. With us were those early workers. Elder Smith especially was one with my husband in his early manhood. He knows how we were pressed about for want of means, that our diet was of a very meager sort. Turnips were used for potatoes, because potatoes were too costly to come upon our table. We worked without wages, only using the means positively necessary to live, and our furniture was composed of such things as bottomless chairs that had to be reseated, prepared for use with canvas seats. He knows that we all acted our part bravely to accommodate ourselves to the situation uncomplainingly while in Rochester, New York, and at different places where we were located. We know how much it cost us to lay the foundation for the work to be advanced onward and upward in our publishing work to its present prosperity. We have stood shoulder to shoulder with Elder Smith in his work while the Lord was laying the foundation principles. We had to work constantly against one-idea men who thought correct business relations in regard to the work which had to be done were an evidence of worldly mindedness, and the cranky ones who would present themselves as capable of bearing responsibilities but could not be trusted to be connected with the work lest they swing it in wrong lines. Step after step has had to be taken, not after the wisdom of men, but after the wisdom and instruction of one who is too wise to err and too good to do us harm. There have been so many elements that would have to be proved and tried. I thank the Lord that Elders Smith, Amidon, and Batchelor still live. They compose the members of our family in the most trying parts of our history. The greatest worker that ever lived was Jesus Christ. He was the truth, he was the light, and he was with us under all our trying circumstances. We think of those days with thankfulness for our experience, but now God has been leading us on step by step, from advance to advance. Old standard bearers have laid off their armor, and men with no experience in test and trial or in knowledge come in and think they know everything. They take things made ready at their hands, swell into great proportions, and forget Joseph.